got that defensive. He doesn't. I don't worry about it. He says it. Frank, you interrupt people more than I do. And it's always somebody else does that. So, yeah, we may need to call on that for our listeners. Listeners may have something, an issue to take up.
Hey, yeah, sure.
They could ask him a question.
Anybody wants to talk to Tim at all, don't worry. I mean...
Did you say a-hole?
No, I said at all. I said at. It's the accent.
Sounded close.
It's the accent.
So I called Bill Cleveland, and I said, hey, I almost forgot about this. In fact, I did forget about it. I said, Tim's not going to be in Monday. Would you like to come in and sit in all day?
I said no.
And Bill said, who is this?
No, you didn't. You said absolutely not.
Oh, that's right.
By the way, who is this?
I said, Bill, look, it's just as a favor to the show, because this show actually launched your very successful career. Oh, it did. Well, it did. And you know, I put you on the air a long, long time ago. And the only other people who put you on the air buried you, like over KZK, you're changing records or something. Nobody knew who you were.
Records?
Yeah, yeah, because there used to be records. So I said, you know, after what the show's done for you, would you come in? And he said, maybe you didn't hear me. I said, absolutely not. And then I said, okay, I'll give you $5,000. And he said, $7,000. And I said, okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, filling in for Tim. No, he didn't do that. He's glad to come in. Bill Cleveland, everybody, sitting in for Tim. Not in the sense that he's doing the news. He's not going to do the news. He doesn't have to do any of that. He's just here to be with his friends.
Tim, does Bill have to do any news or anything like that? No, he doesn't. Okay, good, Bill. You're in the clear.
That's good.
I know to a lot of people that's already getting old. Not us.
No.
Not us. Not to us, it's not. So, let's just see what we have going today. The only thing we have planned is I don't know if people are interested in this or not, but before I start this day, and it's been this way for 35 years, before I sit down at the microphone...
You take a big boost?
Tim, did you think that was funny?
As I was saying, before I sit down, the many days, about the only thing that I have in the way of something that I know I'm going to do is the joke. I like to, in my mind, sort of already have decided what the joke's going to be. And outside of that, it's sort of, you know, we know Josh Bauman's going to be in the 4 o'clock hour.
Okay.
But the rest of it, in many cases, is really up to you. So I'm going to give you... I'll give you our phone numbers. We're going to do the Burke segment. You're always welcome to join in here, especially the first hour, because it's sort of just a free-for-all, and you may have something, know something, may have seen something we didn't, and you can enlighten us. So you may have a gripe, a complaint, a question about the show or any of us on it, whatever. Here are the numbers, 855-282-8255. I'm going to do that again, 855-282-8255. 8255 or 314-821-0590. Those are the same numbers you'll need when Josh Bauman joins us. And I want to say this about Josh Bauman. We've had, over the years, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, only three tech guys. We had Jose at the other place.
Yeah.
We had...
Taylor Nickerson.
Yeah,
Taylor Nickerson. So nice guy. Nice guy.
He was
good. But... And with all due respect to Taylor, who was good, we struck gold when we stumbled on Josh Bauman because, one, he, like Taylor's a very likable guy, but he really... Oh, my... Hang on. I forgot to put my phone on... sorry. On silent. Like Taylor, a nice guy, but, boy, this guy connected immediately with the audience, and he seems to... It's interesting, like Jose, he's not an Apple guy. He's an Android person. But he really does seem to know his stuff. And if he can't find an answer, kind of like Scott Sherman, he'll find somebody who does know the answer. So Josh will be in the 4 o'clock hour, and We're up against it, folks. This holiday thing, Black Friday, is this weekend. We're maybe 3 days away from Thanksgiving. So shopping starts. You're going to be out looking. You'll have questions. Be nice to have the answers before you go out looking at televisions or computers or whatever. So Josh will be here to help you with that. So does anybody have anything to say?
I got a little something. Here, I guess.
All right.
Well, Bill, nothing is little. Everything's important. So, Bill Clavlin, everybody.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
When you called me on Thursday evening,
Bill.
I was watching a documentary. It was actually the second season or the follow-up to a documentary called Making a Murderer. Have you heard
yes,
of this?
Okay. I've seen it.
Did you watch both of them?
No.
First and, okay. We watched the first one.
Right.
Okay. So then you kind of know the story. It's a guy named Stephen Avery, and then his, I believe it was his nephew, it was Brendan Dassey, and
oh,
the,
this
was in
this.
Manitowoc County, Wisconsin, excuse me. And so they convicted him, and this guy had already been wrongly convicted for a rape. I'm sorry. And so, and he was in jail, I think, for like 15 years, and then some DNA came along, and they just determined that he did not do this crime, and they let him out. Well, almost as soon as this guy gets out of prison, another crime happens, and they throw him back in jail, and this time he becomes he's sent to prison, and he's in there, I guess, for life now for this other crime, a murder. And so that was the first season. So but the second season now, and it's, I don't know how long it's been out on Netflix, but it was absolutely fascinating. And this woman, I don't know where she's based out of. I want to say New York City. I could be wrong on that. But she's a high-powered attorney, and she takes up these cases. And her entire deal is she wants to free people who have been wrongfully accused. She's gotten 17 different people out of prison who have been wrongfully accused. And she went and interviewed this guy, and she basically said this guy is absolutely innocent. He was either framed by the police department or there was another... Wait. Killer, and they did not latch on to the other killer.
Now, is she saying this about the first case, or is she saying about the second case?
So there's just one case. There's two separate cases, but they took place at the exact same time. So it's this Stephen Avery, and then it's the nephew, who is Brendan, and the Brendan is the one that they started with, and he is like, I don't want to say a special needs kid, but he's a very low IQ, and the whole deal is. They started this up because he was on tape being interrogated by the police department, and which of course that's pretty standard in a case like that. But they were, I believe this, they were feeding him information, and he was basically saying whatever they wanted him to say, as if you know, so he'd get the heck out of there or whatever. And so, but it is absolutely fascinating to watch. This lady puts together the entire.
Did
case.
We talk about your use of the word absolutely? Have we talked about that?
No, we talked about his use of the word neat.
We need to zero in on absolutely.
Absolutely?
Yeah, that's another one. You guys got me. You did. You got me on, and I'll tell you why. Because now I get halfway through it. I stop myself from doing it. So, Bill,
I hope
you
words.
Don't. No, Bill, I hope you don't mind, but we're here.
I do, but that's okay.
We all are here to help each other's careers and to make sure that the other person succeeds and does well. So part of that is, in a nice way, letting people know when they overuse an expression or a word, and you are really an absolutely guy. So now that we've said it, you'll start to realize every time you go to say absolutely, you go, oh, maybe I should have another word. Yes, Dan.
At Broadcast Center, we used to call those crutch words.
Oh, yeah.
We would do, remember that? We would do exercises where students would get up and tell a story, and we would focus in on different crutch words. For them, yours was indeed.
I
used to have a boss when I worked at an ad agency. I worked at two different ad agencies, and this boss, his almost everything that he wrote, he would put this in there, and it's interesting to note, comma. I mean, you couldn't read anything that he had written where he didn't say. And it's interesting to note that. So one day I said something to him about it. He did not like that.
Oh.
He did not like an employee, young employee, telling him that he over... Oh, no. I remember that did not go over well. Be careful when you go to the boss and go, you know what, maybe you use this too much. You're fired.
You're
so
fired.
He didn't fire me. Oh, very good, Life. That was quick. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill.
No, I will just conclude by saying that the most fascinating part of this documentary, if you haven't seen it, it's The Making a Murderer, and it's the second season, the follow-up to the first season. So they get to the appeals court at some point during the documentary, and I had never heard, and I guess this stuff's available if you can look for it, but I've never heard anybody go to an appeals court and hear how that process happens. And there are, what, I guess 7 judges on an appeals court, and they're all sitting there, and it's a big deal. And you have 20 minutes. Each side has 20 minutes
Whoa,
to prepare their case.
Very much time.
No,
wow.
That's all you get. And so you prepare, and they show these people working, putting together, and just, you know, sleepless nights, putting together their presentation and what they want to say about trying to get this young man who they believe was wrongfully put into prison. They put this thing together. They work really hard. They get up there. They start talking, and the judges immediately start interrupting them. And that's eating into their time. And
like
it is,
this show.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But it's really wild, so I can't suggest that enough, but Making a Murderer, if you haven't
seen it. I'm going to get to the calls, because we have calls. Can you think, outside of physical torture, can you think of anything worse than sitting in jail knowing you didn't do anything?
Yep. Oh, that's horrible. Yeah,
I mean,
horrible.
What a helpless, horrible, you know, and even
it's
though
heartbreaking,
you're,
yeah.
even
it's
though your family members come to visit you and they're talking to you on the other side of the glass, they go, we're doing everything we can, man. We're going to get you out of here. Oh, really? Okay. A lot of people said, I can't even imagine knowing you did nothing.
And then at a certain point, you exhaust all of your options. I mean, there's only so many times you can appeal, and then you're just done. You know, your whole life.
Look at the people that have spent 20 to 30 years in prison. Oh,
yeah. DNA frees them. Forget DNA proves them innocent. That's when, if you're a God-fearing person, that's when you sit there and go, you know what, God?
What?
Well, did I do to deserve this? What the heck?
Could you imagine going into jail or prison in the mid-80s, and you kind of know what's going on in the outside world. You get little snippets from talking to people, and then, boom, all of a sudden it's 2019, and you're just proven innocent and just thrown into the outside world again. I mean, it's completely different than what it was back then.
Well,
somebody
they talked
would probably
about,
have, like, a shock.
Yeah, in this documentary, they talked. There was a girl who her whole job was basically taking people who are released from prison after all these years and trying to help them get back into the community.
Or orientation
figure it out.
Into the world. Yeah. Now, this is a, say it after me, cell phone.
Right.
I mean, they don't know. You know, they don't know. They've never seen one of these. Sure. You imagine that. Let's go back 25 years. Now you're out of prison, and you've been in for 25 years. Think of all this. I mean, they'll go anywhere and look up and go, you got to be kidding me. That's a TV. It looks like a picture hanging on the wall. That's a television? And what's this cell phone thing all about? Oh, it's more than just a phone. It would take years just to bring them up to speed, because so much has happened so fast. Let me take a couple of these calls. Matt.
Just one.
Yeah,
Matt they just dropped.
Yeah, so
Matt
Dave
dropped.
Still there.
Yeah,
Dave
Matt.
Dropped.
Yeah,
Dave's right here.
Well,
Dave,
Matt, Dave's the only one here.
Matt and Tom dropped off. You impatient, impatient people.
No, they were
let's
holding
go.
For a little while.
Well, let's go to Dave. Dave gets rewarded because he held. Dave, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Good. AM into PM.
Thank you, Dave.
I would like to find out if Tim could do an impersonation for me. Could he do a cat?
Hmm. Oh, okay. All right.
No. I don't think he can do a cat. He's Tim.
Well,
he would not be able to do a cat impersonation.
Let's see.
Why don't you ask him?
Yeah,
okay.
Why don't you? Yeah, let's see what he can. Hey, Tim, can you do a cat impersonation?
No. He basically said, "No way. What's the matter with you, you stupid moron?"
Yeah.
Oh, no, goodness. Sorry. Apparently, he can't do it, Dave.
All right.
Why, Dave, why did you ask that?
I guess a dog would be out of the question then.
Yeah. Why did you ask if he could do a cat? I'm just curious. Why that question?
Why not? He's supposed to be good at impersonations, isn't he?
Maybe he just wanted to talk to
Tim doesn't
you know?
Doesn't do impersonations.
He might have just wanted to talk to him. Can Tim, are you able to do a dog? That kind of sounds like a dog.
No, yeah, Dave, I'm sorry.
Maybe not.
Dave, by the tone of his voice, he doesn't particularly care for you,
Dave. Sorry, Dave. We like you.
Join the club. Hey, Dave, happy Thanksgiving. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Same to you guys. Have a good one.
Bye, Dave.
Before we get to Jim, you're next. Before we get to Jim.
Yeah.
we saw another movie. We're actually caught up and we're done for a while. But there was a preview, a trailer for this movie, Cats, which was a play.
No. Oh, no.
For the life of me. I saw the trailer. I cannot understand why anybody would go see Cats.
I saw it at the Fox.
First of all, I'm not a big fan of musicals, so I would never go watch it. Second of all, I don't know what they were doing this time. They've put humans, but they kind of look like CGI cats that can walk around. And it just looks weird.
Well, I don't get it. And not only that, you just said something. You said look, there's two things that I'm a particularly big fan of. One is musicals, and two is cats, and this is both. It's a cats musical.
But Broadway musicals don't translate over to film. They screw up.
I don't think
Mamma Mia. I'm sure they'll screw this one up.
Yeah. I saw
the one that did was Beauty and the Beast. That was a really entertaining movie. There was an animated version and a live action version, and that worked. But Music Man with Robert Preston, and look, I'm sure there's some others. But this Cats thing, I don't know the story. I don't even want to know, because I saw these people walking around, slithering around with their cats. I just looked at my wife and I said, take a good look at this trailer, because this is a movie you will never get me to go see. I will never go see Cats.
I saw it at the Fox with a play, and it's actually really good. We enjoyed it.
On a stage.
I like Cats.
On a stage, sure. That kind of atmosphere worked
a little bit. For me.
Like, you know, the singing, the dancing. I get it. It's on a stage, you know, pantomime and all that stuff. I get it. But in a movie theater or on a cinema screen, nah. Can't do that.
Neither one for me. Jim is next. Jim, thank you for your patience. Welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. I am AM in the PM.
Well, and that explains why you're doing excellent. What's up?
Now, I'd like to say, Frank, now these words you guys catch each other on, I'd be careful, because some of these words might actually be endearing to us, you know, out here and listening to you guys. It might be something that makes up your character, and it just adds a seasoning, something that we like about you. So I wouldn't get rid of all of your words, and I wouldn't call them crutch words.
We're not getting rid of all of them. We're getting rid of the ones that we overuse.
I'm not getting rid of any of them.
I used to work with a woman who used the word basically, but she used it all the time for everything. Like if you said, hey, I hear it's supposed to get a lot cooler. She goes, well, basically the temperature is going to drop, but they said that basically after a couple of days, I mean, just everything she said was, and finally I just said, one day I just went up to her, and while she was talking, I just went, basically. And she said, what? And I said, I'm going to go ahead and say it for you for the next 8 times you're going to say it. Let's just get it out of the way. And she said, do I say? I said, all the time. And guess what happened? She was so aware of it that she quit. No, I know what you're saying. You know, there's certain things that just sort of help. I know exactly what you're saying. But let me ask you this. Do you think, Jim, that anybody should be allowed, and this is more the millennials, do you think anybody should be allowed to just continue without somebody stopping them to do what I'm about to do right now? Okay, so, like, I'm at home, and, like, my mom comes in, and she says, like, what are you doing? I said, like, I'm going outside. She goes, like, what for? And I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, well, what do you mean you don't know? Like, you're going out, and, like, you don't even know where you're going? And I'm like, that kind of thing. That's what we're talking about. We're making ourselves...
No, I agree with you there, Frank, 100%.
Okay.
Now, let me change the subject real quick before I...
You okay?
But in regards to Bernice and that infamous word anyway...
Yeah. That's different. That's different. I'm with you.
I'd like to suggest something to you folks in regards to her and that word. And here it is. When you're speaking with somebody and they use that word like 3 times in a row, and we hear Bernice each time, I'd like to suggest this. The third time, she says, you horse's rear end, and you guys hang up.
Horse's hind end.
And we're close. You were close. Well, we don't hang up on people, but I like your idea that after three strikes, you get the horse's hind end. That's a good idea. I like it.
I'm cool with that.
All right, great.
Yeah.
Limey's on it.
Yeah.
He's on it.
Hey, thank you, guys. Have a good Thanksgiving. I love y'all. You make my day every day out here doing my job. I'm one of the fortunate ones get to listen to you constantly. Ooh. And you've made the last 15, 20 years, Frank. I'm not kidding you, man. You've just made my life better. I mean that from the bottom of my heart, Frank, and I know a lot of us out here do.
Wow. Jim, that's the nicest thing you could, that's the nicest compliment you could pay us. Thank you so much, and I hope we can keep doing it for a while. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you, sir.
What a nice thing to say.
A nice guy.
Absolutely.
Now, before we get to the next caller, so is that now an official
rule? I don't think he was including you in it.
I know that. I wasn't talking about that. I know. Nobody likes me. I'm cool with that.
I said, Bill, I don't think he meant Bill when he said he really makes his day. And
oh, my bad.
I don't think
I said his comment was absolutely nice. That's all I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I think.
Absolutely.
What did you think, Tim? Yeah, Tim thought it was nice.
You know what I just realized? And if Tim's listening, he's not going to like him. It's probably making him mad, but if he's listening, we don't really need him if we got that. We're good to go.
Yeah.
We're good, except for the news. And, Bill, you can learn to do that. Let me see who's next. Oh, I believe it's Ken. Not only the name of Barbie's buddy in the doll world, but named that because the creator of Barbie had, I believe, a son named Ken. And I think that's where that came from, as she had a daughter named Barbara. That's where Barbie came. There you go. Thanks to Bill. Is that not right? She has her two kids.
I think that's right. That's from that toy documentary.
And if it weren't for Bill Cleveland, see, we wouldn't know stuff like that. Ken, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Where are those Barbie royalties I should be getting?
Hello, Ken. That's from A Fish Called Wanda.
Just want to let you know, I'm absolutely AM and the PM.
See what he did there?
Yeah. That's good.
Good one.
Just saying. Hey, I took your advice and watched the documentary, Frank, that you talked about, I think last week, The Devil Next Door.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess my wife and I, when it was all said and done, and I'm not trying to be an insensitive person at all, really not.
Right.
But how can you try somebody for a war crime when we've done the same thing, like in Vietnam, burning villages up and such? If you're just obeying an order from a higher ranking officer, how can that happen?
Well, there were things in World War II.
Yeah,
and other wars too that we've done.
That is not an even conversation.
I don't know that you can compare the two, because it's one thing to be in war. Nobody was at war with the Jewish people for being Jewish people. There was no war with the Jewish people. There was a war, but in Vietnam. Yes, there were atrocities. Yes, there were innocent people killed. But there were also, in some cases, people killed because you couldn't tell the good guys from the bad guys. These people knew exactly who they were murdering in those concentration camps. They were murdering not somebody who might be an enemy in disguise and might be going to kill you. No, they were kids and moms and dads and grandpas hurting nobody.
It was disgusting.
So I think there is a difference. I also think that in battle, and I haven't been in battle, but I believe sometimes when you're in that situation and your mind is all but shot because you've been out and without good food or a shower and the stress and being fired at, and you don't know if you're going to live or die. Sometimes you snap. And you actually lose your mind, I believe. These Nazi SS guys, they didn't lose their minds. They didn't snap. They just, somebody said, kill all these people, and they went, Heil Hitler. Okay, we'll do it. And I guess what I couldn't understand is how people in those kinds of numbers, thousands and thousands, could all go along with that, as opposed to all saying, no, we're not going to murder those people. I know exactly what you're saying. I do. And I've thought about that before. I thought, what if I went to Vietnam? What if I came up on a village? What if I'd been under the command of William Calley when he gave the order to mow all those people down? Would I have done it? I don't know the answer to that.
And all my wife and I said was, like, these guys are just following order of superior officers. And, I mean, even as horrible as it was, no doubt. But, I mean,
Ken, do you know that technically you do not have to follow the order of a superior officer if you believe that officer might have somehow become incompetent, might be doing something completely immoral. In fact, ask any military guy, there have been U.S. soldiers who have killed their commanding officers because they were so out of control.
That would be for the Americans, but for the Germans, they probably, if they turned it down, they probably got killed.
True. But what he's saying is that we've done something comparable by killing innocent people.
Yeah.
I know exactly what he's saying.
Yeah.
And
it was just more that my wife said if they didn't do what they were told to do, they would be killed. I mean, if the Nazis didn't do
I saw a documentary on that, and what's very interesting is there is no documented evidence where any young German soldier, and there were some who refused, and there's no evidence that they were murdered. Or that they were tortured. So they did have the option, and some of them took it. And as far as we can tell, and I remember when I found that particular segment of one documentary, I thought, wow, great, it's the first time I've ever seen this addressed. Because I always wondered, what if the SS guy went, no, I'm not going to gas these people. I'm going to kill these people. I don't think they were killed. I just think that they were so brainwashed, and so there'd been so much time put in actually convincing the people that the Jewish people were absolutely to be exterminated and done away with, or they're going to end up doing this, 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 and this. And they believe that. They believe it. It's kind of like somebody, this is a bad comparison. Remember back when AIDS first came along and somebody wouldn't want to shake the hands of somebody who had AIDS because they thought, oh, I might get AIDS. No, you won't. You don't get it that way. You're mistaken. Just like they were mistaken about how horrible the Jewish people were and that if they didn't get rid of them, this would happen or that would happen. No, it wouldn't. But I appreciate your call. A little heavy, but I appreciate it.
Sorry about that. Happy Thanksgiving.
That's all right. No, happy Thanksgiving to you. Thank you for listening.
Yes, sir.
All right, Ken.
All right,
there goes Ken. We're off this little sidetrack, but we'll get back wherever we were with Rich. Rich, welcome to 590 The Fan. Happy Thanksgiving. I think we can say that today. How are you?
I'm AM in the PM. All
right, of course you are. What's up?
I just called to wish y'all a happy Thanksgiving. It's been a while since I called in. Probably be a little bit before I get back through because it is difficult to do so.
Okay.
Actually, I guess happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Merry
Rich.
Christmas and Happy New Year.
There you go. Or Feliz de Día de Acción de Gracias. Feliz Navidad y Año Nuevo. I just said in Spanish, Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it, Rich. You've been listening a long time, and we know that, and we thank you for that.
Yeah, I was actually going to say the guy who called us a couple calls ago said he'd been listening for 15 or 20 years. I thought to myself,
amateur.
Rookie.
Yeah. Amateur.
Beginner. Yeah.
All right, Rich, always appreciate you. Thanks.
All righty.
Bye-bye. Look at this. Look at all these calls. Let's go to John. We'll take them all. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. Happy Thanksgiving. How are you?
I'm AM in the PM, Frank.
Well, that's the way everybody should be. What's going on?
And like your guy said a little while ago, you've made the last 20 years for me. You and the crew.
Thank you. Thank you.
But you're welcome. You deserve it. Going back to the war crimes, that video, I saw it, and I couldn't make it through it in one sitting. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
Now, are you talking about the Netflix Nazi concentration camp?
Yeah.
I said at the time. Yeah. It's it is the single most disturbing thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. My short answer to how people can do that is cowardice. And the deeper version is it involves extreme psychological abnormalities. Nothing like that should ever be allowed to occur. Anybody who doesn't stand up against that is destined to become part of that. They're liable to end up in the same manner as that by allowing things like that to happen. It's just, when Eisenhower made the villagers from those camps come in there and see what was going on, because they denied any knowledge. We didn't know what was going on. That is the biggest load of horse manure that's ever been spread, because there is no way anyone could be within miles of that place and not be able to detect that odor. I don't care how bad your smelling is, unless you have no, what are they, olfactory senses? Right.
My screen changed on me. I'm sorry. Is this Jim or Joe? My screen.
This is John.
John. John. Hey, John. John. Here's the thing, and then we'll get off of this. But for people who don't know what you're talking about, this Netflix documentary called Nazi Concentration Camps. It's strictly black and white footage that was shot by our military when they walked in. I mean, as they were setting these poor victims of this horror free, and they liberated these camps, and it's raw, unedited footage.
Right.
But here's the deal. If you lived in the town, and let's say Auschwitz is right outside town, and you're wondering, wow, what's that smoke and what's that smell? I don't know that it's not possible for you to have suspicions, but you don't rattle any cages or say anything, because I think most everybody by nature is afraid of being tortured. That's only natural, or being killed. So what are you going to do? You think, I think they're burning people and gassing people alive. Okay, now what? What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it, Mr. Goldstein, who lives in, or Mr. Whatever, or whoever you are, who lives a few miles away and you suspect this? Now what?
You have to be there at the time to be able to answer the question properly.
Yeah, but and I think it sounds good to say...
I think they should have made some kind of effort. I mean, I don't feel sorry for anyone that was executed related to that.
No, absolutely not.
Operations.
The only thing I don't like is the few...
There should have been more.
The few people who were executed, the only thing I don't like is they weren't executed in exactly the same way. They should
That's
have been made
be
to feel. I could not agree more. That person needs to feel inside what his victim felt.
Exactly. And this whole idea of, you can't put this person to death because it's cruel and inhumane. Well, what about the victim? What about the victim's family? Did they get to choose that their life was terminated at
that
moment?
Well, but you and I both know, though, there are a lot of people who feel that just because one human being was violent and inhumane to another one is no excuse for us to do the same thing. I disagree. I think it's all the excuse we need.
I disagree, too. And I also think that all of those people who feel that way should move to California.
Well, that's turning out to be the place they need to go. Yeah. I appreciate your call. John, have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you. Have a great Thanksgiving. It's an interesting audience today.
Yeah.
They want to talk about everything, and that's okay, because we do too. Now it's Jim's turn. Jim, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm good. Same to you, and I'm on AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Frank, I at least have, just by reading and studying since I've been about 18 years old, probably have at least a bachelor's in this subject, if not a master's. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying the guy a few callers ago needs to spend about 2 weeks and do a crash course on this thing. First of all, if his kid was killed, he wouldn't care. If it was 75 years later, he would want the person who did that to his kid or who killed his family brought to justice, regardless of wartime or whatever it is. So that's the first thing. Second of all, talk to these veterans. Maybe you can't reach them anymore, but study about how these veterans reacted when they visited the camps at first. It wasn't like, oh my God, the war just does some collateral damage. It was like, oh my God, this is the sickest thing I've ever seen. It was systematic. I mean, blah, blah, blah. I could go on and on. I'm not trying to minimize the subject. I'm just saying anybody who thinks we were just following orders that's a crock of crap. It's the worst thing you can ever say. So, and many of them said it, and such a small fraction of those perpetrators were brought to justice for a number of different reasons. It will blow your mind. The reasons that you will find out, it's not conspiracies. It's basically the U.S. wanted to beat the USSR, so we brought a bunch of conspirators over here to be on our team. A bunch of stuff going on, but anyway, no.
Anyway,
not just following orders. Yes, if your family was killed 8,000 years ago, I'm exaggerating. If they were killed 50 years ago, 55, 70, you would want the perpetrator brought to justice.
I agree.
I'm on fire. I'm sorry.
I agree. No, I agree. I agree.
So yeah, but I'm trying to be kind. That guy needs to spend about 2 weeks and study the heck out of this subject. And I think he would have, and you handled it perfectly and very patiently. He would have a change of heart and a change of mind.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Is this Joe?
Jim.
This is Jim still. Thank you.
I got so many calls on the screen. I can't believe it. Thank you, Jim. I've never seen anything quite like this. It's a Monday. It is a good day. It's a Monday. And we're not steering this, so if you go, well, get off the subject. It's not our subject. That's what people are calling and want to talk about, and I'm fine with that. Now we're going to go to Joe. Joe, good afternoon, and happy Thanksgiving, and welcome to 590 The Fan.
Thank you, Frank. AM and PM.
Thank you.
I just wanted to talk to you about your Veterans Day show that you put on every year.
Okay.
And let you know how much I really appreciate it. I had three of my mom's brothers who all served during Vietnam at different times, and thank God they all came home. And I currently have a nephew who serves in the United States Marine Corps, and when he was on deployment, I can't tell you how much we prayed and hoped for his safety and his platoon safety and all that, and it's just, It's unreal. So you have a family member that's overseas in some godforsaken land doing God knows what to keep our country free. It is just really hard to grasp. And that song that you played at the end, the I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Oh my, Josh Groban. Oh my goodness.
Josh Groban. That, to me, that used to be just another Christmas song until my nephew was deployed, and then, that song really, really hit home from then on. Every time I hear it, it really has a whole new meaning.
Well, so. before Christmas, Joe, we're going to play it again because it's not just the song. It's the way that in Groban's rendition of the song, they just sort of interspersed these actual phone calls from military people who were stuck overseas. And here's the other thing I think about. Yes, it's horrible. But what about before email and before the internet, and you had a brother or a son or your dad was gone, and if you got mail, by the time you got the letter, that thing had been written 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
We are so incredibly lucky that there are brilliant people in the world who came up with things like email and cell phones and the internet.
FaceTime.
I mean, so you've got a relative who's in Afghanistan, and you are in real time looking at him or her, and they're looking at you, and you're showing them the tree, and look at the way the kids' presents, and it's all right there. My goodness, that's a fantastic piece of technology.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Joe.
You guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too. You too.
Thank you very much, Frank. Take care.
You too, bye-bye. Thank you. Yeah, think about that. I watch these movies like World War I, even World War II, and you'll see the letter and, you know, the typical scene where mom runs out to the mailbox. Oh my goodness, a letter from Jimmy. And she reads it. Well, it's things that we had a tough day yesterday. And what she's reading is 2 weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
And then he won't hear. It'll be a month between the time he sends mom a letter, mom reads it, sends him back. Holy crap, a month is gone by. He could have been killed by that. The fact that we can instantaneously talk to each other blows me away. I have to take one quick, Tom, hang on. I have to take just a quick break or we'll be way behind here. It's a break you're going to want me to take because I'm going to give you $100. Not, I'm not personally going to give you $100. First Community Credit Union is at least $100. If, see, how many more weeks do we have? Ooh, only 5 more weeks of this offer. If you move your car loan from wherever it is that's not First Community, move it over to First Community Credit Union. You get at least $100. I know everybody expects there to be like a paragraph and a big disclaimer and fine print you can barely read. No, it's not. It's just $100 and it's yours and it'll be an account in your name. Do whatever you want to with it. Take it, leave it, add to it, whatever. And all they're asking is that you move your car loan. And if you move it, there's a very good chance you get a little second gift. And that gift would be a lower car payment because one of the things First Community Credit Union is so well known for is their very competitive interest rates. To become the number one credit union, the biggest credit union in the St. Louis area, you have to figure out some things that you do better than everybody else. You just do. Why else would you be the biggest? Well, they've figured out a few things, and one of them is that rates are extremely important. That people shouldn't have to shop around and keep changing where they're banking all the time because this month somebody had a better rate, and next month somebody else had a better rate. They know what's going on out there. They shop it for you. Just relax, do your banking at First Community Credit Union, knowing they're getting you the best rates they possibly can. And I doubt seriously that anybody is going to beat them. So just leave that in their hands, and you just enjoy the fact that you now have a great place to bank and that you're a member, not just a customer. I've been doing my banking there for several years now, and it's the only place we do any of our banking. So I'm inviting you to join us. Let's start with this car payment thing. What do you got to lose? Nothing. You got at least $100 and maybe a lower car payment. It's all good. And I think you're going to do all your banking there. First Community Credit Union. Find out more. All the information is at firstcommunity.com. Can I talk to, I guess it's Tom? Who's next? Is that right? Well, Tom, happy Thanksgiving and welcome to 590 The Fan.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Frank. Longtime listener, AM and the PM.
Thank you.
And got a couple of quick things.
Okay.
What not aggravated me to death before anyway became popular, and today right aggravates me to no end.
Thank you.
It's really a bright day today, right? It's Monday, right?
Tom, I cannot thank you enough for mentioning this because for those who don't know what we're talking about, and I don't know how you could not know if you communicate with anybody, especially, and it's not even just millennials. Let me give an example of what you and I are talking about. Okay, here's it's a dramatization. Here's what a lot of people sound like. And my car had run out of gas, right? So I hitch a ride, and this guy is in this old truck, right? And he says, so you want to go to get food? And I said, I was hungry, right? And said, you're exactly right. It's like a question, right? Am I supposed to answer the question? Yeah, you're right. Oh my goodness, it drives me nuts. Thank you for bringing that one up.
Right.
You're right.
Frank,
that's it, right?
Say right.
Yeah. Now that's a good one. That's a good
one. And my and then my other point is you were talking about Germany and the Nazis and people dying, and if you'd like to read an account, Google Diedrich Bonhoeffer, who was a Christian pastor and lost his life fighting and attempting to insurrect the Nazi regime. So there are people out there that were trying to do the good thing.
Well, there were a lot of people trying to do the good thing, and let's certainly not forget about Oskar Schindler.
Yeah.
What a movie.
Program.
All right, thank you. I appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving, Tom.
And to you.
Now I'm going to need the remainder of what little bit is left of this hour to do two things. One, we're going to talk about you getting your eyes examined, not just a, you know, chart, that eye chart, ETOPFZBD, you know, and the letters get smaller. So that's just a vision exam to see if you're not 20/20, what your vision is, so they can prescribe lenses for you. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a thorough look at your eye. And I want to make sure everybody understands something, because I do understand how most of you are freaked out at the idea of a 90-minute examination of your eyeball, because you assume something about this has to be painful. I get that. I do. But here's what you need to understand. There's nothing about it that hurts. I can thump myself on my palm and that hurts worse than, and that didn't even hurt. Nothing hurts. It's just an exam. They're taking pictures, all kinds of pictures of your eye. They want to see the topography of your eye. They want to see the shape of the cornea and any irregularities. They want to look at the lens. They want to look at everything. But nothing hurts. In fact, it's kind of like going to a science museum where you go, whoa, look at this, or a space museum, because you are going to see and use equipment you didn't even know existed. And when that 90 minutes is over, Dr. Brinton or one of his associates, and they're all super highly qualified, or they wouldn't be working with him, going to tell you whether or not you're a candidate, a good candidate, for a corrective vision surgery. And they're never, ever going to tell you you're a good candidate just so they can put another surgery on the books. They don't need any more surgeries in the sense that they're not hurting for business. What they really don't need is people walking around saying, yeah, boy, I wish I'd never gone there. They performed a procedure on me and it didn't go well. And then I found out later I wasn't a good candidate. That is not going to happen, but it does happen other places. And there are people that have had LASIK who should never have had LASIK. There are people who have not had LASIK who would love it, who were told they weren't candidates, who actually are candidates. You may not be a candidate for LASIK with that doctor you went to see who's not nearly as highly trained as Dr. Brinton and his staff, or doesn't have nearly the equipment they do. Yeah, in those hands, you're not a candidate. Listen, I wore glasses most of my life. I wore contact lenses for a huge part of my life, and they were hard lenses because I wouldn't wear soft ones. There's never a day, one day, that I could say, whoo, I really loved wearing my glasses today or my contacts, because my glasses were super thick. The only reason that I am not wearing glasses anymore, except for reading glasses, is Dr. Jason Brinton and the lenses that he put in, replacing my God-given lenses. He may very well be able to do the same thing for you if you're a candidate, but you need to find out if you're a candidate. Let's get this done. 90 minutes, that's all it takes. It's $120. Probably not going to be covered by insurance. So what? How much is good vision worth to you? Dr. Jason Brinton, B-R-I-N-T-O-N. The clinic is Brinton Vision. They are on North New Ballast Road in Creve Coeur. I'm going to give you the website and the phone number. Let's start with the number. Please make this appointment, and please tell them you're AM the PM. You are going to email me and thank me for this yet another great discovery because of this show. 314-375-2020 or BrentonVision.com. You have a tech question, problem, an issue, we have your guy. His name is Josh Bauman, and he's up next because it's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
590 The Fan, with your local talent covering your St. Louis team. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tom Roberts. President Trump says he properly handled the firing of Navy Secretary